Welcome back to Small Town Missing. I'm Thomas.
I'm Will.
And I'm Rhonda.
And thank you guys so much for listening. We've been enjoying this thoroughly.
Thomas, I know, has been enjoying this. He loves true crime. Hasn't he told you?
I'm enjoying making a podcast. I'm not enjoying the true crime aspect of
our
podcast.
We're going to have more one day that aren't true crime related.
True. That's what we're aiming for, but you do what you got to do.
I've enjoyed it. Me and Rhonda have definitely enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But I really like whenever we have user suggestions mm-hmm. or listener suggestions.
Uh-huh.
It just kind of makes you feel good knowing that people are listening, like it enough and want us to do more episodes.
Did you have any more, Rhonda, that you knew of? You don't have to say. I ran out of mine, I think, last week.
I was researching a user-requested episode of murder,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't find a lot of detail on it, so I have to just dig a little further and see what I can find.
Well, you know, I think I hear a podcast doing, like, the Freedom of Information Act and stuff on things, but, like, I don't know how long those kinds of things even take nowadays, you know?
Depends. Yeah. It just depends on how long it takes them to get back to you.
I know. I would love to go back to do, maybe look at some of our older cases and, like, maybe do some kind of thing like that. That's, like, a potential thing I've been looking into. So who knows? Maybe that's something we'll do one of these days.
Yeah, maybe. Now, I have to say, occasionally I do go back and look through our old cases to see if I can find any recent updates.
Mm-hmm.
I did that just this past week, and I haven't seen anything. The last thing I think we had an update on was the
Molly and Colt. Yeah.
Yeah, Molly and Colt. And there's nothing. And that was December, January timeframe, and mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything more recent.
When it's also, too, like, you have to think, like, some of these cases we talk about just weren't even highly publicized whenever we were doing them. So I'm surprised that you could even find some of these updates sometimes.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Well, you ready to start the episode?
I am. I'm ready to start.
Let's get started.
All right. Well, today's episode, our missing person is Nan Cecile Dixon.
Mm-hmm.
And she was 73 when she disappeared from Grass Valley, California on September 21st, 1978.
Oh, wow. This is an older one.
It is an older one. We've been doing a little more recent ones, I think.
Yeah, we normally have, like, younger people. You said she was 73?
Yes, 73.
Oh, wow. So, like, I'm getting a little Ruth Dorsey vibes going on with this one a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah, similar time frame and similar age, I think.
Close.
Mm-hmm.
Close. Nan was on her way to visit her brother, Harry Leeton, and his family in Seven Troughs, Nevada. Now, that's located near Lovelock, Nevada, which is in Pershing County.
Okay.
Just in case anyone out there is from that area, you might be familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what route she may have taken in 1978, but looking at Google Maps, it's just over a four-hour drive.
Okay.
And she would have driven through Tahoe National Forest, north of Lake Tahoe, through Reno. And after that, the drive was pretty desolate, mm-hmm. or at least looking at Google Maps today, it's pretty desolate after that point.
We have a few of those drives, too. I know, like, you know, those long stretches of road that, like, there's nothing there. That it's a little creepy still, you know, nowadays, even, you know.
Oh, yeah. Especially if you go at night.
Yeah.
You can't see any color or anything. It's just darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's no creepy. Street lights or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I could only imagine. And I don't know what time of day she may have left, but yeah, I could see encountering something like that, animals along the road. That's, you know, when you're out like that, that would be a concern.
Oh, 100%.
Deer. And, you know, here we have so many deer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was driving to go visit somebody the other night, and a deer almost ran out right in front of me.
Really?
Like, very close to the road was very close to the tree line, and I just barely saw the deer jump out of the trees as I slammed on my brakes just in time.
Well, Thomas, this is news. You don't divulge these things to us.
Well, I mean, I didn't hit the deer, so it was fine. So
I do that too because I live about 30 minutes away from y'all. We live in, like, the country, and you know, it's really a lot of deer. You're right about that.
Oh, yeah. Especially those dark. It's always the dark and twisting roads.
Yep, exactly. There's always a dark and twisting road here.
It is. And that's when they like to jump out. And what they do is they'll literally stare at you and, like, watch you when you're far away. And then when you get close, they're like, oh, now it's time
to go. They're like, now it's time. Yeah, okay,
like,
perfect.
What? Then you see one go and you're like, okay, I don't see any more. You start to go again, and all of a sudden, there's a herd just coming through.
Oh, yeah. There's like 85 deer and, like, all the kids, all the, like, baby deer and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
All right, I think you guys.
I didn't mean to distract you.
Yeah, I think you guys exaggerate just a bit there.
So what I'm gathering,
how much
Rhonda,
did I distract you by?
Desolate road.
Distract.
No. I'm not distracted. How much did I exaggerate?
Maybe the number, the herd.
The 85.
Well, how many is a herd?
Okay, and I know we're really getting off point here, but you know, 3 to 5 maybe come yeah, through I'd at a time.
That's a herd. Yeah.
So what I'm gathering, Rhonda, desolate road. This is what she was driving.
Yes, sorry,
yes, I didn't absolutely.
Mean to, okay, didn't back to topic
and
here.
Probably, and just looking at the map here again, Google Maps, it looks much more desolate than anything we have around here.
Yeah. Okay.
A desert, like I assume.
Oh wow.
All right. So according to Doe Network, she planned to have dinner in Boomtown, Nevada. Now on Google Maps, I saw a Boomtown casino in Nevada, mm-hmm. and that wasn't far from the California-Nevada state line, but I didn't see a town. So I don't know if maybe Boomtown is no longer in yeah. existence, or maybe where I thought she would be traveling route-wise yeah. isn't where she would have traveled.
Yeah, maybe well, a little it, different.
It could have been annexed into something else.
That's true.
Could have been.
It could be like one of those little small towns that's just like the square and a couple houses.
Yeah.
Could be.
I could see that.
According to Charlie Project, Dixon had invested $6,000 in her brother's gold mining operation in 1961. And according to Charlie Project, she was on her way to her brother's house to get the money back.
Oh, interesting. A little financial aspect here.
It is interesting. Now, she never arrived at her brother's home.
Okay.
And according to Doe Network, she was reported missing a short time later. I don't know if maybe by the brother or the brother called the husband, said Nan has never showed up. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure who exactly reported. Mm-hmm. Now, at the time, the sheriff of Pershing County said his office had no evidence that Dixon had ever gotten as far as Pershing County. So there was no search performed in that area.
Okay.
But 3 months later, Nan's husband received a credit card bill for $4.18 from a Texaco station in Lovelock, which is about an hour's drive from Seven Troughs and is in Pershing County.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Then this is what you said 3 months later?
3 months later, yes. Okay. So this puts us around December 1978
okay.
time frame. The credit card charge prompted searches, but no trace of Nan was found. Nan's family hired psychics and private detectives to search for Nan.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. I mean, like I said, I've always said before, I mean, if you're exhausted all, like, you know, avenues, like, why not go to a psychic? I would. If y'all were missing, I'd do everything. I'd be doing a seance right now.
Okay. Well, hopefully not a seance, because that means you think we're dead.
To find y'all? Well, I mean, listen, I said, no offense. I said, 3 months later, I'm like, that's my thing. But yeah, I can completely see, like, I've heard, I think even with Miss Ruth's story that we, you know, I've been going back to Miss Ruth, they did that same exact thing, Rhonda. I remember they hired, I think, psychics and stuff too. So that is interesting.
It is. Now, and didn't they also hire a private investigator?
They sure did. They sure did.
And I guess that's certainly a route. I mean, if you don't think anyone's looking for her, then why not?
Yeah, exactly.
In November of 1982, which is 4 years later, Nan's car is found by coyote hunters in a ravine. And this is, quote, below the main road off the Seven Troughs turnoff.
Oh, a ravine? I don't get a good sense from that.
No. And this is about 27 miles north of Lovelock and in a snow-covered mining area called Eager Pitcher.
Okay.
E-A-G-E-R Pitcher, P-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Okay.
So here again, we're in December, so snow-covered is the information I'm getting.
Okay.
Now, according to Charlie Project and Doe Network, the area had been searched previously from air and by ground, but the car hadn't been seen, even though it wasn't covered by anything, no brush or anything like that.
That's weird.
Now, supposedly, the only way it could have been spotted is looking directly down from a cliff, which was above the car.
Okay. So that's the only way, they think. So it would have been seemingly easy to miss.
Yes. And I'm trying to visualize, and I guess it must have gone deep down into the ravine, and even though there was no brush on top of the car,
mm-hmm.
maybe there was brush alongside the road, and you couldn't tell it had gone off.
That yeah, I could see what you're saying with that.
That would be my guess. Now, according to Dixon's family, tire tracks could still be seen left on the road.
Oh, so like, what did they think, that maybe she just tried to stop but fell off the road into the ravine?
I'm not really sure, but we're talking 4 years later.
Yeah, that is weird.
That is very weird. I mean, unless that road is really not traveled
at
all.
Yeah, not well traveled. You would think, though, with like wind and rain and all that kind of stuff, that would be washed away.
Maybe. I mean, again, we're talking desert. I'm not sure.
Oh, what, no, Marion, maybe.
Yeah, what environment type situation you might run into out there.
Mm-hmm.
According to Doe Network, the car appeared to have been driven over a rocky road and into the ravine. The tires were badly scuffed from the rocky road, but they still contained air and they were in reasonably good condition, and the gas tank was half full.
Oh, okay.
So it kind of makes me wonder, all right, I don't know how much gas her car may have used, but if her husband received the credit card slip from, what was it, Lovelock, yeah. Nevada, and this is only 27 miles north of Lovelock, what does that mean exactly? Yeah, she has half a tank of gas.
I don't know. And also, too, I mean, it was only like a $4, I think, credit card receipt, wasn't it?
It was, but you're talking 1978.
Yeah, true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, gas prices back then. So,
mm-hmm.
Can we go back to those prices?
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Back in the day.
I just first thought that came to my head.
That's so weird, Ron. Like, I don't know. And it also, too, like, just that... I'm sure you're going to go into this in a minute. I need to find out. I need to hear what you have to say about the car's condition.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go ahead and I'll go through, you know, what I've found. Okay. And then we can discuss at the end
some
of our questions.
Okay. Oh, come on. You didn't want to just jump ahead and speculate on things that you're probably going to answer here in
I know. I always do that in Rhonda's way.
Will does that. It's like, no. Hold
I'm
on.
Like, wait. Just hold wait. The story.
Wait. All right.
Now, as far as the contents of the car, there were 4 empty cigarette cartons. But these weren't Nan's usual brand, and the family didn't think she would have smoked all 4 cartons in the car because she wasn't a heavy smoker. She was what they called a light smoker.
Okay. So she's like only a few cigs a day type of gal.
I would think so.
It could have been – well, you can't necessarily rule it out, though, because it could have been just travel. She could have been at different stops and only had certain brands to pick from, and – who knows? She could have just been stressed out with having to drive 4 hours.
Yeah, true. That's me.
I mean, I know I don't like driving for long periods of time.
Me too.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what they mean by carton. Because a pack.
20 cigarettes.
Is that a pack or is that a carton?
Ooh, a carton's like a full thing, though.
So if they were saying 4 cartons, yeah, it's like that's a lot. Yeah,
it's like however that's many packs, 10. Like what, 10
so
packs
it's
200 in a carton?
Cigarettes in a carton.
Mm-hmm. And maybe she was stocking up. Who knows?
They were empty.
But they were empty.
Oh, they were
empty. So that's, and you said how many?
4. 4 cartons.
That's 800 cigarettes.
Yeah.
And a 4-hour drive. Yeah, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and
I
this
take back what I said.
Okay, now that's what I found, and maybe it was just maybe just a different terminology, but I think of pack versus carton.
I agree with you. If it was cartons, that's 800 cigarettes. If it's packs, okay, that's 80 cigarettes.
Yeah.
But even then, 80 cigarettes on a 4-hour drive.
True.
I mean, you would have to be a serious smoker to go through that.
I know people that are 3-pack-a-day, so.
3-pack-a-day peeps?
Yeah.
But in your car? That's
wherever they can get it. We used to have a manager that was, every 10 minutes, he'd have to have a cigarette.
Oh, my God.
It was about every 15 to 20 minutes, he had to have a cigarette.
That's probably, I guess, what they call a chain smoker.
That is a chain smoker.
It is, but it was also what his job was. He was very stressed out.
All right. Well, I'm sorry we're kind of getting off topic and speculating a lot of stuff here. So,
well, I mean, it's what you got to do. We speculate based off information that we have, and we use references and personal experiences to kind of come to conclusions.
True.
Because we don't have the answers. We
Rhonda might have them, though.
We
don't know
the answers, so we give our best guess and our best assumptions.
Okay, Will, in answer to what you just said.
Yes.
The name of the podcast is Small Town Missing.
I know. Don't get me started.
It's not Small Town Murdered.
Not Small Town Found. That'll be our next
No. We have to make assumptions. And I'm sorry if people don't like that, but we don't have the answers. I'm going to just say it honestly. We don't have the answers. We might occasionally come across a case where we do get something, but 9 times out of 10, we're going to have to speculate because – we just can only make assumptions.
That's true.
And we're really good at speculating.
We are.
We are really great at speculating.
We're the best speculators.
I mean, how many times have I brought up alien abduction?
Listen.
Or spies?
I believe in it.
Okay. Well, let's get back on topic. Okay. Not only were the empty cigarette cartons found, but there was also used black electrical tape in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And one piece appeared to have a hair and possible human tissue.
Oh, gross.
Okay. And what looked like bloodstains were found on the trunk mat, and this is from our sources, and I assume by trunk mat they mean the carpet in the trunk.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
And not only was it found on the carpet or mat, but also on a tire, what appeared to be blood on a tire and also on a tire rim.
Yeah, okay.
All right. What appeared to be a possible suicide, and I'm sorry I keep saying all right, but
I think it
so
sounds
one day
great.
Get past that.
It sounds
it's okay.
Great, Rhonda.
It's fine. Everybody has their ticks.
What appeared to be a possible suicide note was also found in the car, But Dixon's family don't think that she would have killed herself, and the note was not signed. Her family thinks the note was a plant by someone else.
Especially because what a weird place to do all that.
Well, I mean, also the fact that there was duct tape with human tissue on it and hair.
Yeah,
that is weird. It doesn't exactly seem like whatever happened in that car was
normal.
Was one person.
Is it ever normal? Never.
I agree, Thomas. I agree. And by the way, I don't see any mention that the handwriting matched Dixon's. And I don't know if maybe it was, so far gone. Maybe it wasn't that legible. I don't really know. But I did not see anywhere that said definitely that she had written it. Mm-hmm. And I assume that's why the family thinks, you know, someone else put it there.
Yeah, a little hoax or something.
And they've spent over $40,000 searching for Nan.
Mm-hmm.
And Nan was driving a yellow and green four-door 1976 Datsun B210 Honeybee with CA license plate 915HV. After it was found, police closed the case as a suicide, and the car was sold at a sheriff's auction.
Where is she, though? Like, we don't know where she is. Like, that's so weird. Like, how could you necessarily put that as a suicide if you don't have a body?
No. And you can see a picture of the car on the Doe Network link that's going to be in our show notes.
Okay.
Yeah. And if you have a suicide note, where's the body?
Yeah.
I mean, the suicide note was in the car.
Yeah. Like, you would think she'd be in the car.
You would think so. And I've just got...
How would you close that? It's so weird.
I know. And according to Charlie Project, the evidence that had been collected by the police has been lost.
Oh, that's
always
not a good look.
Well, you always have that, you know, misplaced.
Exactly. And the case was reopened in 2007, and I was trying to find why the case was reopened, mm-hmm. and I couldn't find any exact reasoning as to why it was reopened. But there are a couple of theories, of course, suicide being one,
yeah.
because of the suicide note that was found, but she wasn't found. And if she could write a suicide note, couldn't she honk the horn or try to get out of the ravine?
Yeah.
And another reason the family doesn't think she wrote it is because they say, and this is a quote, she was strong and lively at the time of her disappearance.
Yeah. So, like, why would she even? I know. And, like, why also, too? Because, like, I mean, she had theoretically a plan. Didn't you say she was going to, like, her brother's or something is what you said?
Right.
So, yeah. Like, what a weird time for that. You know, I don't know. I feel like that whole thing is just very odd. And also, like, the whole nobody thing is also very odd to me, too.
It is odd. And I can only assume they're thinking suicide because maybe, I assume, again, that they think that she was in a situation where she thought no one would find her.
Yeah.
And that's why she would have committed suicide, written the note and committed suicide.
Yeah.
But again, if you've left the note in the car, why, where did you, you know, what did you do?
Did you crawl away? Did you?
Yeah. Did you just walk away? And if you could walk away, could you have not gotten out of the ravine?
Yeah. I don't know. I need to see, like, this little ravine part, too, just to see, like, kind of what's going on with that.
I can see where they're really putting a lot of thought into that. This makes no sense whatsoever she would have done something like that. And her brother knew she was coming to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would think if she didn't show up, someone would look for her.
Yeah, exactly.
And here again, if she could write a suicide note, you would think she could honk on that horn,
mm-hmm.
and the car horn, and someone would find her if they were driving up and down the road or, you know, searching for her.
Yeah, unless they think that maybe, but although, I mean, I guess there were no remnants in the car of any, like, bones or anything like that, unless they thought somehow animals got to it and, like, she was lost. I mean, that's the only thing I could really see.
Yeah, as far as I know, there was no open door to the car,
mm-hmm.
But I didn't find anything like that. And in that case, yes, I could see something could have happened to her.
Yeah.
As far as not being in the car when it was found.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that was the case.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it.
And then, of course, the second theory is murder. Allegedly, there were airdrops of illegal drugs into Seven Troughs area. And could she have seen something and been killed because of that?
Maybe. I don't know.
And that might account for the black electrical tape with the hair and possible human tissue.
Yeah, like, and also too, like, I don't know, like, I don't know what they mean by tissue exactly either. So, like, that's also a little odd.
Well, I believe it was only a single hair that was found, and maybe there was tissue at the end of the,
like,
hair.
So a ripped hair follicle or something.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could see
exactly.
That.
Yeah. According to Doe Network, there was a suspect in the case But that suspect has passed away.
Oh, and did they ever divulge any more information on this person, Rhonda, that no, you know of?
I could not find anything as can't far even as have who that was.
Ugh, no, that's so sad.
Didn't find it. I assume, since I didn't see it specifically, Nan's brother and his family were cleared of any possible connection with her disappearance.
Yeah, at least from what you're telling us, it doesn't sound like they were persons of interest at all.
No, and I assume when they mentioned there was a suspect in the case, it would have been mentioned if it was Nan's brother.
Yeah, like the I family. Assume. Okay.
All right. Well, to wrap it up, Nan was Caucasian with red hair that was graying and with brown eyes when she disappeared. She was 4 foot 10 to 5 foot tall and weighed about 110 pounds.
Small.
Wow.
She was very small. And if you have any information relating to Nan's disappearance, you can contact the Nevada County Sheriff's Office at 530-582-7842. And as Thomas said at the top of the episode, thanks everybody for listening. We certainly appreciate it. And hope you don't mind our speculating, because we definitely
we're
did
good
all
at
over
it.
This one.
Yeah.
I know. I keep mentioning that because we did have someone who was criticizing the podcast because that seemed to be a lot of what we were doing.
Speculating.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this one is a very interesting case, and I think that's what you have to do with this one, because where's the body if
yeah.
she killed herself?
That's so interesting. I don't know exactly why, because they don't really divulge like as to, you know, why they think she would have done that, if suicide was like a legitimate option. You know, I guess we just don't have a lot of information about her at that time. But also, it's just, yeah, it's just odd. Like, I don't see if it was a suicide, then I'd just like to know where her body went, or like what yeah. seemingly may have taken her away from that scene.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. And like I said, I assume that they think it was a suicide because she found herself in a situation where she didn't think anyone would find her.
Yeah.
And not that she planned on a suicide and decided to drive 3 hours towards her brother's house to
okay.
do it. That would make no sense.
I see where you're coming from with that.
But still, if it was suicide, there would not be so much evidence to the contrary. But what I would think, maybe she did commit suicide and someone just stole the car and then crashed it.
Maybe. But that is a weird like.
Because, I mean, if there's no trace of her, they could have just found a car and went on a joyride.
Maybe. I don't know. That is
but
weird.
There's just too much blank space.
Yeah. And like I said, why would you travel out of town to do that?
Yeah. Instead of like at your own home, or like, you know, I don't know what her living situation was like. But, you know, it is Rhonda, this is a very interesting case. You've been doing a lot of these interesting ones lately.
I have. And to your point, Will, they've spent $40,000, and I don't know how current that total is, $40,000 searching for her. So I would think the family definitely cared about her and wanted to find her.
Yeah, the family knows. I mean, like, no matter what you think of anybody, I mean, like, the families really do know, I think, what a person is like and, like, what their normal, you know, situation is. I mean, I would hope you guys would, like, put some kind of, like, invest in what my family,
what
my family thinks, because y'all know me, my family knows me. Like, if the cops aren't looking into something, y'all are like, hey, like, this is a red flag, please tell the cops, you know?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I don't know, that's so interesting, Rhonda.
It is a very interesting case, and maybe someday we'll find out what really happened.
I know. I wonder what the, because you said they've opened the case again. I wonder if it's still a current case as of, like, what, 2007? I think that's what you said?
Yeah, it's still an open case. It's an unsolved case.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And again, I would be very curious as to why they reopened it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, all right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you've got any suggestions, please send them to us at Small Town Missing on Instagram. And I keep saying it, but we will eventually make a Facebook.
I believe it when we say.
I promise we will make one eventually. But thank you so much for listening. Please continue to share with your friends and family and anyone you can. And we will try to continue making good content for you guys. Catch you next week.